Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
To just process what the hell just happened. The Lakers were up 17. They were up double digits in the fourth, dancing, kind of just, you know, running away with the game, having a good time. And then Benedict Mathurin, my goodness, did he go on a run. I feel like he scored every point. They had a 10-0 run, cut the lead to 7, a bunch of ISOs. The Indiana Pacers never quit. They started trapping at like half court. A lot of bad passes, a lot of early shots, and the Lakers lose. And this one hurts. I thought this is one that, you know, they had to have just from like a what the season is going to be going forward. Like, we have a ton of road games coming up, and when you start the season 2-9, you really have zero margin for error, especially in games when you feel like you won twice. Like, the Lakers went up big, Indiana came back, which I thought they would. They shoot enough threes to where they're not going to be blown out a lot of nights. Their three-point, you know, margin and variance is just too high. They shoot too many with too many good shooters to get blown out in that way. But to blow the lead, to blow an Anthony Davis game, honestly, 25 points, 13 rebounds, 4 blocks. Not sure how much of that matters now after this loss. But, yeah, the Lakers now fall, I believe, to 8-12. I don't even know what their record is, man. Kind of at a loss for words. I had a bunch of notes for like a really good win, a solid win, a win where we're building, and I thought, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we found in this game, and then to just blow it is really painful for a night where I think we saw a lot of the stuff that went well. LeBron got the ankle injury early, but he looked like he was moving okay. The jumper wasn't there. But you know, just, you know, I thought Russ played well in spots. It's just, man, that closing lineup, I thought it was just, and I don't know how much of it to blame exactly on him, but just, it was a lot of Russ. It was a lot of Dennis Schroeder. It was a lot of just quick shots and, you know, a lot of shots that Indiana would live with. And then LeBron, all his offense was really post-ups, couldn't get anything going to the basket to end the game. He had that one layup, that he finished to kind of put us up to, but I felt like it was just a major struggle for him, especially in that fourth quarter. They lose 32-22 in the fourth, and I'm just shocked. It, you know, this felt like a win going away. This felt like building momentum, three games in a row, going into a Portland team that has no Damian Lillard. Like, this really felt like a building block win, honestly. And the Indiana Pacers aren't some bottom dwelling team. They're 10-6. You know, they're not a great team. They've had a soft schedule, but 10-6 is 10-6, just like our record is what it is. And you lose this game, and man, this feels like a three-step back game to where, like, you know, you beat the San Antonio Spurs, whatever that means, and then you take like three steps back. Anthony, if you're up here, jump in whenever you can. I was not expecting this. I had a full list of like so many positives I wanted to get into, and this shot kind of really, really threw all that off.
Can the Lakers get Nembhard in the trade? Is that is that on the table? No, I'm just as shocked as you are. That was
really, really quick, Anthony. Did you have any doubt that shot was not going in? Like, I had no doubt that shot was going in.
As soon as he caught it, especially because LeBron, I mean, like, you know, I know criticizing LeBron is always a great way to just ruin your mentions for like 3 weeks, but that was really kind of sort of all on him. He was in no man's land guarding somebody who he thought was in the corner. Turns out Nembhard had floated up and was wide open there. And yeah, I mean, I think the game went awry, obviously, well before that, though. You don't drop a double-digit lead with fewer than 10 minutes to go in the fourth without a lot going wrong. And, you know, this is where I think Darvin Ham being a rookie coach really kind of showed out, especially going up against a veteran coach like Rick Carlisle. I think the Pacers so far this year, like you and I talked to Aaron last week about teams who are told essentially by their fans and by management that, yeah, you know, it, without saying it in not so many words, that, yeah, we're supposed to be tanking. Players take a lot of pride in shutting a lot of that noise up. And I think the Pacers were never just kind of going, they were never going to go away. And I think the Lakers anticipated and hoped that they would go away and played that fourth quarter as if like they were just kind of looking for, you know, kill shot after kill shot after kill shot. And that's kind of what we saw last year too, when really all you need to do there is just, you know, play solid, smart basketball and get out of there with a win. And this is a brutal one, man. Like this is, they play Portland. They play Milwaukee coming up. They go east for this trip. This is an absolutely devastating loss given everything that's gone on to this point in the season.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, where the game was lost just going onto the floor, I thought number one, Austin Reeves, I think he sat way too long in the fourth quarter. I honestly thought he was our, like, I didn't want to like tweet it, but I thought like our offense ran best when he was initiating. Like that's when we got our lead. It was even with Russ and LeBron on the floor, we were running it through him, pick and roll, and then kind of kicking out of that. And that's where Russ was able to kind of attack in secondary actions through there. And I thought closing, you know, without Lonnie Walker was a mistake as well. I thought him and Austin were our best, along with Dennis, but our best like defenders on Tyrese Haliburton and Buddy Hield and Bennington Mathurin, like just chasing them around. And LeBron, you could see, was, I thought he looked okay, but like I think defensively he was definitely wavering out there. He definitely wasn't, you know, his full self. And I don't know if that's effort or the ankle, but I'm sure it's a combination. And I thought, you know, his defensive effort, which, you know, I expect LeBron not to be locked in, you know, for a full fourth quarter, I thought that impacted it. And then we were super small. Bennedict Mathurin just got right to the rim on Dennis anytime. He got super physical. He started to hit some threes and got some confidence. And I thought that's kind of where the game was lost. It felt like, you know, the Portland game earlier this year where we were up big. And then we went to, like, this offense where it was like, okay, you have Russ on the floor, you have Dennis Schroeder on the floor, and you have LeBron and AD and one shooter in Troy Brown, which Indiana did not respect at all. And they just, you know, they were like, go ahead, like go kick it out to them if you want. And we just got post up after post up. So I thought those were the two mistakes. I thought Austin sat way too long. And I thought, you know, not closing with Lonnie was a mistake just defensively. I thought those were our two best guys. But, you know, you lose a 14-point lead. Yeah,
but that's kind of the point here with this roster, right? Is, you know, you can have everything going for you all game as the Lakers did, and all it takes is a mistake here and a mistake there, and because the margin for error is so slim with this roster, things can go bad in a hurry. Like I know this is the kind of thing that people say after this kind of a game all the time, but as it was going on and while the Lakers were playing really well, you just kind of look for, all right, when is this going to turn? When, you know, and there was a bunch of moments of levity. I know that Russ was really getting the crowd into it, and you really feel like, all right, things are going really, really well. But because of the way that the season has gone, because of the way the last couple of years have gone, I just kind of felt it in the back of my mind. It's kind of like, all right, when's the turn coming? You know, and then the turn came. And, you know, this is where, again, I think, a coach with more experience really utilizes as many timeouts as it takes to get the momentum, you know, kill any and all momentum that Indiana builds. They really focus on the kinds of players who, you know, are high floor type of players. And again, they just, you know, to use a football term, they just run out the clock. And I thought in this one, like going with Schroeder there at the end, It's clearly to get him a few more reps and get him involved more in the rotation. But, it was pretty clear that you needed somebody with more size out there to bug Halliburton. And whether that's Reeves, whether that's Lonnie, whatever, I think Russ was playing too well that he wasn't going to sit there in the fourth quarter. But again, he's an extremely low floor type player. So even when he makes the occasional good play, you just never know what you're giving up on the other end. And the last thing here is I really kind of think this one kind of goes back to LeBron as a leader there, where, all right, let's slow this thing down. Let's grind this thing out. Let's limit the number of possessions that are available for the rest of this game. And I just kind of thought that he kind of went back into quiet mode. He kind of tried to ride out the game. And for decent reason, AD was playing great. The Lakers were hitting shots and stuff. But I don't know. I just feel like it was pretty clear when the tide really shifted and nobody stepped up to get momentum back and to refocus on the types of habits that built the 17-point lead in the first place. And yeah, I mean, this is how shit like that happens.
Man, I'm still trying to process this. But look, I'm looking at so it felt like a lot. Again, I hate just attacking Russ because I don't think this is his fault. I thought it was a lot of passiveness as well from LeBron. Also, AD, I wish he kind of demanded the ball more, even though, Miles Turner was kind of sticking on him. But the last few minutes, so it's, 4 minutes left. We're up 8. Russ with a turnover. That is 6 turnovers. I mean, that's fine. I mean, 1 turnover. But then, next play, Russ gets blocked at the rim. Okay. And the next play, Russ hits a 3. But I mean, that's a shot that Indiana is more than happy to give up, right? Like a Russell Westbrook 3-pointer.
I actually laughed out loud at that play because Buddy Hield was technically supposed to be guarding Russ there. Russ hits his 3, and Buddy did the Drake fake unhappy meme where he's like, "Ah, oh, shoot, man, that would sure suck if Russ took that shot again." It's fantastic.
Yeah, and then so a couple possessions later, LeBron misses a layup. And then I think it gets kicked out to Russ, who hits a mid-range pull-up, which, again, shot that Indiana is more than – this was our offense, Anthony. You know what I mean? And then next time down again, Russ takes a 16-footer jump shot that misses. Again, I'm not blaming him. I'm just this was our offense down the stretch, and this felt a lot like what it was last year, what it was early on against Portland, against Sacramento, and games that we lost. And again, I'm not trying to blame him. It's just I feel like I've seen this movie 500 times. You know what I mean? I've seen this movie a bunch. Yeah. We had a flow going. Russ killed that second unit. He did his role. That's his role on this team. He killed that. And then let's get the defenders and shooters in. And it's not the reason we lost. It feels like just this cumulative kind of thing that I've seen a million times. And a team like Indiana that never stopped playing, while the Lakers definitely did. They stopped defending. They stopped trying. But that stuff to me all just was cumulative to we lose a game that we're supposed to lose. So, supposed to win.
I think it's the same. We always see this, and this is always going to be kind of the inherent issue with Russ being on the roster, is coaches, they can't help themselves. He's a future Hall of Famer. He's barely half a decade removed from some of the greatest individual seasons that we've really ever seen. And that resume is going to make it so that he's not your typical spark plug off of the bench, right? Typically, if it's if it's a Lou Williams type, if it's a Jamal Crawford type, if it's your typical sixth man who comes in just to run the second unit, and he isn't making $47 million and he doesn't have Russell Westbrook's resume, that player sits in the fourth quarter when it looks like, hey, we just need solid play from our point guard right now, right? And like you're saying, I want to be absolutely clear here because I don't want Russ people in my mentions for the next month. I thought he was really good for most of the game. It's just that what the Lakers needed down the stretch was not what he typically provides, or certainly hasn't provided since he got to LA. But because he is Russell Westbrook, you're not going to get a coach who just doesn't play Russell Westbrook when he's playing well. That's not how that's going to work. And I know that all roads lead back to the lack of a trade to this point and the roster as it's constructed and the indecision from the front office. And I know that I'm beating the same dead horse. It feels like game in, game out, but this is the kind of stuff that, again, it's the tiny margin for error. It's the inability to break the habit of not playing this guy. It's just, it, like you're saying, it's the same movie that we keep watching over and over again. We keep on having the same conversation over and over and over again. And shouts to everybody who keep on listening to the same conversation over and over and over again.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't want to, like, cop them out either. Like, obviously, a trade is what, you know, this was the scouting report game, right? This was the Miles Turner, Buddy Hield scouting report game, which, I mean, they had mixed grades for this game, honestly, but not that that matters in this trade. But, like, that's not the reason we didn't run back, you know? Like, that's not the reason that there wasn't transition defense. Like, all that stuff shouldn't be why you lose tonight. I think that was a big part of it as well. The end of that, so the end of the fourth is going to get plastered everywhere on SportsCenter or whatever. But that end of the third quarter, Anthony, I mean, I kind of took a mental note of it. I thought we would still kind of come back from it. AD sat 4 minutes to start the fourth, which I thought was insane, honestly. I did not think we had that big of a margin, but we did. I guess we didn't, or we did, whatever. But, like, we were up, like, 16, I think, going to the end of the third, and then we just take bad shot after bad shot. Indiana, Benedict Mathurin went nuts, and, like, I think they cut it to 9. He ran back and, like, got a layup to end the third and cut it to 9. And I think that, combined with, like, that late fourth quarter, was the end of this. And it sucks because I think we were actually legit, like, building stuff. Like, I think we legit were finding things. And I think, you know, those Spurs losses kind of get taken away now, or they feel, you know, pretty lifeless compared to, like, after this loss. But, Anthony, I think we were finding stuff. It's just, man, this one sucks. I was not expecting to lose tonight.
Well, I think like the part of this that really sucks is that, like, this is the kind of loss that convinces a front office that inaction is okay. When for the vast majority of this game, you're watching it saying, how can you not want to invest in a team that has Anthony Davis playing the way that he was, that has LeBron James still capable of doing the stuff that LeBron was doing for most of the game, that has Lonnie Walker playing the way that he is, that has Austin Reeves playing the way that he is. And again, like, if, because I think you and I agree, the report and the news cycle that has come out to this point has really made it seem as if this front office is looking for any and all excuse whatsoever not to do anything and to sit on their hands and ride out the rest of this season with the roster as currently constructed. And this is going to be, you know, a checkpoint for them to be inactive here. And it's just, it's brutal. It's brutal because, again, like, they looked so good for so long. And there have been so many flashes throughout the season that would indicate to me that this team is worth gambling on this year. Maybe not actually, but gambling on if you're the front office. And I think that's where this one really stings the most. Obviously, it sucks to lose these games, and obviously, like, losing on a last second shot to a guy named Nembhard, it's just brutal to see it go down that way. But
would you have rather had Miles Turner hit that three, Anthony? Like, would that have felt better?
When he was open there, I was just like, oh, every, like, Bill Plaschke, like, had half of his write-up done right there. Boom. And he missed it short.
I thought that was going in, honestly. Like, I was – what a moment. I thought that was going in.
I actually would have preferred it because the Lakers would have had a chance to answer. But no.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Although it's you know, somewhat ironic, right, that the Lakers weren't able to corral a rebound with – AD at center, and maybe if you have one more big body out there, they swallow up the paint and you're able to do that. I don't know. But yeah, I just think, like, given the context surrounding this game, obviously all the focus was on Buddy Hield and all the focus was on Miles Turner and how they played and Rob Pelinka getting to see them for the first time this season. like, I think obviously that's going to really kind of drive the conversation here, as it has to this point in this conversation. But I also do want to kind of look back on something that Darvin Ham has talked about a lot since he showed up. And he said it in training camp. He said it during preseason games. He said it early on this year. And he said, like, the one thing that he absolutely wanted to avoid was having guys get used to losing. And it was clear at, you know, as momentum really shifted, Indiana, because they have done as much winning as they have so far this year, really believed they could win this game. And like I said, you know, a little while ago, I just felt like, all right, when's the thing going to go wrong? And eventually it did. And that's what happens when you lose as much as the Lakers have all the way through preseason and into the regular season. And up to this point, you develop those habits, and eventually it gets really difficult to break them without some kind of a fundamental change whether it's how the roster is built, whether it's, you know, another angry film session, whatever it might be. The Lakers have clearly gotten a little too accustomed to losing here, not just this year, but over the course of the last couple seasons. And you know, those mistakes that they made over the course of that fourth quarter really indicate that, yeah, like something really needs to change here. I just hope that this isn't also used as an excuse not to change those things.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you know, the can keeps getting kicked down the road. And I've always said, like, I didn't think anything was imminent. I think, you know, this is going to kind of be the way until maybe the trade deadline or maybe January or whatever, whenever they see fit to kind of make a move. But again, like, the like, Indiana's a good team. Like, they're, just to put it in perspective, they're now, I think they're 12-8 now. The Utah Jazz, with their incredible start, are now 12-11. Like, just to, like, the paces are good. And we had them on the ropes, I thought, for most of this night, which just makes this even more painful to me. Like, this is a game I think the Lakers won twice. I mean, like, they blew two. They had a lead, and then they blew it just by, you know, with reckless play, and then had the exact same situation in the fourth. And that's what just makes this really tough, because this is a good team. This would have been, obviously, their best win of the year. And it sucks for that to not go through, because I think, you know, there was a little bit of a momentum building, and I think momentum is extremely fragile when you have a team that's just this new and, like you said, has been, you know, losing as much as it has. And I think, you know, that's what just, again, the ending just didn't match, I thought, what the team was finding. Like, I thought we finally kind of had, like, a set, like, rotation, a set of, like, okay, these guys come in this time. And again, I think we're really trying to make Kendrick Nunn happen for some reason. I'm not really sure why. But he keeps on playing. But, like, you know, like, again, like, I had Austin in mind. Austin just looks legit. Like, Austin, he finished a +7, I think, in tonight, in a game that we eventually lose. I think Lonnie Walker, even if his shot's not going down, I think his two-way play has been extremely important. I think Russ has found a second unit, like, role. And, you know, there's just a lot of stuff, I think, that we're finding to become, like, a legit, competent team. And now I'm wondering, like, does this loss sting? Does this loss, you know, extend over to when we play Portland in a few days? I'm not sure. But I thought, you know, this one was tough, because I think there was a lot of good stuff in here. I don't think this was just I don't think Indiana was better than us tonight, if that makes sense. Like, is that an okay statement to say? Like, I don't think they were better. Like, we blew this game, which sucks.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
No, I mean, definitely. They were up by 17.
Man.
Yeah, I, the math would indicate that. I just kind of – I haven't really been looking at the stats over the course of the game. Dennis Schroeder was a minus 16 in a game the Lakers lost by one. And he played 30 minutes. Like, maybe one day somebody will explain to me the importance of point of attack defense.
He was good, but it was, again, when we play those small lineups, like, we played him next to Russ the whole, I believe, to close the game, it was him and Russ out there for that major fourth quarter run, and he was, like, important in defending Tyrese Haliburton and Bennedict Mathurin and Buddy Hield, especially just keeping them off the three-point line. It's just, we're so small when we go to our super small guard lineups. I thought he was fine until we just decided to sorry, go ahead. It's just played.
I just think it's so easy to fall into the trap of, like, oh, he's defending his ass off at the top of the, you know, yeah, isolated there with the point guard dribbling the ball up the court, and it's such, I don't want to go so far as to call it fake hustle, but It does a lot of times feel like something that like we, it's so easy to point to when so much of the defense, like the team defense is LeBron floating up with Nembhard on that shot, right? Like that's the kind of stuff that like you don't really see until it really matters. And unfortunately, yeah, for the Lakers, it really mattered in a way that cost them the game. And I think point of attack defense is something that like it's really clear to everybody what it looks like when it's going well. But like, I don't know, if somebody's a really good point of attack defender, then the ball can just move and that point of attack doesn't matter as much anymore. So I don't know. I think it's the same thing that we're kind of talking about with Russ. And it's the same thing that we're kind of talking about here with Kendrick Nunn. And this is a night, by the way, that Patrick Beverley didn't see any minutes in whatsoever. There's just too many guards. and like, you know, Dennis Schroeder playing 30 minutes on a night where Lonnie Walker plays 22. And Lonnie Walker has probably been the Lakers' third best player to this point mm-hmm. this season. Like, that's
definitely
– that's not good like – that's not good process. And – you know, Reeves played 31 minutes. It's hard to really kind of complain about that minutes total. I do think eventually you are going to start seeing diminished returns if he starts getting up to like the 34-ish, 35-minute tally.
But well, let's get there first. Let me get to the minutes, and then I'll judge if there's diminishing returns. Yeah.
You sound like me with Caruso, right? Like where I was just like, well, let me see it before we actually decide that's right. Something – that can return the way that it has to this point. And yeah, I mean, I liked what Wenyen Gabriel brought in terms of a spark. I didn't think the Lakers needed to go as small as they did and kind of sort of fell into Indiana's game plan, where Indiana, like if they go small, they are gaining advantages, right? Because now you're adding another shooter out there and you're quickening the pace. When the Lakers go small, they're just small. when the Lakers go small, you aren't adding another shooter there. When the Lakers go small, you aren't even necessarily playing that much faster because a lot of times they struggle to get the ball in a stop. And so, yeah, I would like at some point before the season is over and before the Lakers make some kind of a change. For like, I thought it was kind of weird that Juan Toscano-Anderson didn't get any minutes here. I thought we should have gotten, well, I guess Troy Brown played 29 minutes, but they need to find a way to get more guys with some decent NBA size out there than they have to this point. And unfortunately, because of the way the roster is put together and take a drink for me saying that phrase again, but because of the way the roster is put together, they have to go super small and they have to play those lineups that don't really gain you any advantage.
Yeah, and, you know, just really quickly on the Dennis Schroeder point, because I was looking. So in the first half, he was a +3 in 15 minutes. And then the second half, he was a -18. And again, I would love to see kind of the correlation there. Again, LeBron was a -12 as well, and I think they shared a lot of minutes together. And you said JTA didn't play. I mean, we have all these guards. You got to kind of kick one of the wings out, right? So I guess he was kind of kicked out. But, yeah, like, again, I think the talent – question is fine in a lot of games. I just think tonight, like, I don't think we lost because of, you know, our talent disparity. Like, I think we lost because we didn't run back in transition. We didn't, you know, respect, you know, the Pacers for even like 30 minutes of a game. Like, we got up 15 and just started clowning on them. And then again, we got up, they came back again, we went up and we started clowning. Like, I thought that was, you know, a big reason. And then Lonnie Walker, only 8 minutes in the second half. I think that's a mistake. Again, he scored only 5 points in the second half, 8 minutes. I don't think he played for the final minutes in that fourth quarter. And I think his two-way play is important. I think his ball handling is important. I think you said he's been the third best player on the team. I think that's been true. I think that's clear. I think him and Austin have kind of shared that back and forth. But I think his ball handling was missed. You had Dennis Schroeder, who I think has points like where he's impactful, especially with his ball handling. But especially in late in games with Miles Turner on the floor, who's taking away the rim, and Indiana has just wings on wings on wings to just like throw on him, and I thought he was uncomfortable. So I think those are things that were like basketball stuff, but this is just a really tough like loss to take in because of what's coming. Like, you have a Portland team that you should win, but then Milwaukee on the road, Toronto on the road, Cleveland on the road, it's really tough to take another step back in a season where you started like 2-9. So I don't know, Anthony. I hope they, you know, they find a way out of this. But wow, this was, it took me a second to kind of take this loss in because I was not expecting that.
Yeah, I think last point that as far as the actual basketball and stuff, I think the bar has gotten so low for Russ, like him just like not actively sulking is considered like, well, you know, Russ is actually pretty good. I do think we're going to have to, you know, recalibrate our expectations for him if he is going to be a part of this thing here moving forward. And part of those expectations has to be like 18 shots is way too many shots for Russ. Like in any game. And this is a game that he shot well. 10 of 18 is a good shooting game for him. But like if he's in charge of really kind of running and bolstering that second unit, and then especially if he's going to be playing, you know, late winning time type minutes, then like more of those shots need to go. Like LeBron shot 22 times, AD only shot 15 times. Like that, I'm sorry. There is no universe in which Russell Westbrook should be shooting more than AD. And yeah, AD shot 10 free throws, so technically those attempts are a little higher. But it shouldn't come down to a technicality there. It should be AD should be especially given the way that he's played this season. AD has to be eating. And Russ, your point guard, has to be finding ways to make sure that AD eats. And I think, you know, one of the things I was really keeping an eye on with LeBron coming back was, is AD going to remain as consistently engaged throughout the game as he was while LeBron was out? And I think we started to see some of that floating that kind of drove us kind of insane down the stretch of the game. And they can't have that. Like he's their best player and you can't have your best player floating. And some of that's on AD, some of that is on coaching, some of that is also on the leadership out there on the court, whether that's LeBron or Russ.
Well, really quickly on the, like, again, I feel like I'm watching the same movie again that I've seen for 2 years, but like, you know, the AD shot attempts thing, I it's not to blame these players that are out there, but again, you have Russ, LeBron, Dennis Schroeder. I don't care who's throwing that post-entry pass. That guy is leaving that man and going to double AD. And that's just, it happens every time, especially late in games where, like, if you're going to just take like what you want to take away, you obviously want to take away the rim. And that's true for every single player that was out there. Again, Dennis Schroeder, Russ, even Troy Brown, who was I think our best shooter on the floor. But, and then I think Austin was in there late as well. But like, again, I think that's why you get the AD low shot attempts, especially late in the quarter. And again, I'm just seeing the same movie. It's why like I was hoping that we found kind of this closing unit that I think just had the right blend of shooting, ball handling, to around LeBron and AD, just enough secondary creation. I thought we lost that. And again, not to blame them, but the offense kind of runs through. Dennis Schroeder and Russ are similar in where like if they don't have the basketball, your returns are diminished, right? If they're on the floor offensively and they don't have the ball, then what they're doing is pretty, it's not really impactful. So that's why like when Dennis is on the floor, it feels like the offense just runs through him, because if it doesn't, then what is he going to do on the floor? He's not a spacer. Can't really cut because he's small, so like he's not a threat at the rim as like a cutter in that way. And Russ kind of the same, which is why I just thought pairing them was just really strange. Not that we had a ton of options, but I thought we're starting to at least find them, and that was my most disappointed thing. And I don't think this game is on Darvin Ham or any lineup. There's a huge amount of things that go into it, but those are disappointing to me, Anthony. When I think like I thought we were like finding stuff that was really successful, and now we're like back into this. We have to like get ourselves out of another hole, which is tough.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a really, really, really small sample size with Russ and Schroeder, but I don't think those guys as a combination is going to be a good one this year, right? Just kind of like last year where it was Rondo and Russ. Like we know how that's going to end. We can avoid that one. Russ can play with Reeves and Russ can play with Lonnie Walker. They, you know, Schroeder can play with those guys, but when you have two guys who absolutely need the ball in their hands and don't matter at all when they don't have the ball in their hands, like,
yeah,
this is the kind of thing that you shouldn't have to find out on the court, in order to see if it isn't going to work. Like that it's a pretty clear basketball theory. We know this well enough at this point that if the two guys who are predominantly going to have the ball are actively taking, making it harder on anybody else on the court when they don't have the ball, then you need one of those guys to be sitting as often as possible, especially, again, if the point in all of this is to optimize and maximize LeBron and AD, which should be the point as you're getting, as you're closing the game. Like, the point of all of this isn't to see if you can get Dennis Schroeder going when you can do that first three quarters, first three and a half quarters if you want. But when it comes down to, like, it's the last five or so minutes of the game and it's a one possession game, or if it's a few possession game, like, that's where you got to get out there. You got to play the guys who optimize LeBron and AD and stop messing around, because the Lakers messed around tonight. They found out. They've messed around for the majority of the last two seasons, and for damn sure we have fucking found out. So, like, at some point the Lakers actually are going to have to focus on what should have been the goal throughout the LeBron AD tenure, and it's maximize those two guys. Don't see if you can get somebody else going. Those guys don't matter. Maximize those two guys and make life as easy as possible on them, and that's how you're going to have the most success.
Yeah, that's the main thing I want to look for when I rewatch this one, is like the, you know,
oh my Russ, God, you're going to rewatch it. Rob.
maybe after like 30 minutes, I'll give it a.
I say this, but, as your friend, dude.
I'll wait a few minutes. I'll let the loss come off all a little right. bit. But let's close on a positive note, because I had this in my notes, and I'm sad that it doesn't mean as much. But you know, with the Austin kind of, he was averaging I think 16 points a game coming into this game, and I don't think. And I think, like, there's a difference between 16 points a game
Before we finish on your positive, because I did, okay. I was looking up this number. Okay. Dennis Schroeder, again, small sample size. They've only played 46 minutes together, but they have an offensive offensive rating of 106.7 and a defensive rating of 124.5. That book, man, is written. Like, I could understand if you got like early incredible returns and maybe like, oh, I didn't expect this to work, but hey, you know, it's kind of like the first person who tried an oyster. Right. I don't know. Like, I didn't expect this to taste this good. But hey, here we are. You know, in this case, though, it's not working out. You know, it hasn't worked to this point. It isn't going to work for the remainder of the season. Just go away from that combination. But sorry. Go ahead.
No. Oysters are good. I've had oysters before. They're pretty good.
I thought you were going to ask me for an NBA comp on oysters.
No, yeah, I got oysters down. I got that down.
All right, cool.
So just closing on some positive to this, Austin averaging like 16 points a game coming into this one. And I don't think they're fake points either. Like, I think they're legit, like, you know, ball swings to him, step back three, or he creates his own shot, or getting to the line a lot. But, like, those are all really legitimate factors. And I got this question a few times tonight, and I thought I would just put it on the show. It was supposed to be in more of like a positive light. But does this change your like ceiling at all that you think of Austin, Anthony? And let's just pretend he's on the team for a long time. Okay. We're not going to discuss free agency or nothing. But like, does this change, I guess, has his play this season changed your, I guess, ceiling picture on him? Or is he still kind of in that just like really good role player, that's just having to score because he's two levels higher than he should be on a good team?
No, I think he's pretty clearly a playoff rotation player. And that's about as high as I can be on somebody. I think now where in that rotation he fits in is for, you know, conversation moving forward. But I do think like he has gained physicality this year that he didn't have last year. I was looking for that, you know, heading into the season. I think that box is pretty well checked. He had that step back three going to his right, which step backs going to your strong hand are it's legitimately obscene. The guys are able to hit that shot and get behind the 3-point line and be able to hit that shot. He hit that and it looked clean too. Like, it wasn't the kind of thing that as he's shooting it, you're like, oh my God, what the, oh, you know, it looked clean throughout the move. So that was good to see. I agree with you that him operating as one of the ball handlers or creators, especially next to LeBron, where, you know, he's the primary creator one every like three or four plays. I think that is something that I was kind of surprised with how comfortable I was with him or have been over the course of the season. I think he's legit. I think he's legit in like a more than a meme way, right? Remember right. When Caruso, when like it was a transition from, oh shit, this guy's like good, you know?
Yeah.
And the rest of like everybody watching was like, oh, you just like him because he's white and bald. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, that it makes it funny to watch when a white bald guy is dunking on people. That makes it hilarious. But I think here with Reeves, I think we are going to start heading into that. Oh, like this he's actually good kind of transition.
Yeah, it's not like cute anymore, right? Like it's like a legit. He's like a legit contributor. Like before, like I think even last season, it was just a player putting up stats on bad teams. Which, if you're watching, you would know that wasn't really the case. Like his points were legit then too. It's just he's picked up a physicality. But you know, you brought up the like giving him the basketball, and I think that's like the biggest thing I've noticed. Like if you watch the two San Antonio games, which I think the last one was a lot closer than it should have, but down the stretch, and like even with Russ and LeBron on the floor, Austin was the point guard. Like he would be the one initiating the action, and it was like LeBron screening for him on like one side of the floor, and then our offense kind of flowed through that. And I thought that's like huge. Like you don't really see, I guess, LeBron kind of give that, especially to a player in his like second year. So I think that's been big. I think Darvin Ham has kind of really found like Austin's not just a good passer for being a guard. He's like an actual point. Like he actually has point guard skills and mentalities. And I think he's been just legit. And it's been I would hate this season to be the second straight season where like he's the one positive you take for it. But yeah, I think, you know, I'm not sure what his ceiling exactly becomes. I think that's a tough question, but I do think you're right. He's a guy that I would trust like in playoff games. And I think that's, again, the Caruso arc that he's on. But like, I think that's true too. I think he's a guy I would trust. And again, he's like our third or fourth or whatever, fifth best player on the team right now. And this is the undrafted kid who has the third best free throw percentage in the league. Like that's an insane find for our scouting department. So I just want to kind of close on that before we just go doom and gloom into these next few days.
No, I agree completely.
Yep. Anthony, do you have anything else from from tonight? I think that's all I had in my notes.
I mean, I just think the most important point here moving forward is like it's nights like this. It's opening stretches of the season that like the Lakers have had that really just kind of hammer the point home on like it. You can't procrastinate in the way that this front office has found new and exciting reasons to procrastinate. And yeah, like, do I think the Lakers would be a number one seed overall? Would it make them a certain title contender? No, obviously not. If you just take Russ off this team and add Buddy Hield and add Miles Turner, but that win, like they certainly win this game. Right. They probably win a few more, you know, en route to the point that they're at right now. And you would feel like you're building something. Like the most annoying part of this game is that like Russ getting the amount of time that he plays 27 minutes. He takes 18 shots. He was, you know, kind of the engine on a lot of the offense down the stretch of the game. And he's not going to be there. Like he's the whole point of all of this is to, you know, at some point trade the guy. And meanwhile, as he's sitting, Lonnie Walker, somebody who you do want to invest time and resources into at least this season, he's sitting as part of the choice there. So I think this is probably going to be used as reason why the Lakers shouldn't trade the picks and all of that stuff. I just think that would just be the absolute worst takeaway for the front office to take from this one. Like what I saw was a team that is very capable of having guys slotted into more logical spots and roles for themselves. If you just add a couple of those players, whether it's Buddy Hield and Miles Turner or any two other solid rotation players that the Lakers could add here. Lighten up the guard rotation, free some guys up for more freedom than they currently have, and kind of carry on here. But the Lakers are going into an absolutely brutal stretch here before Christmas. And you know, I know that essentially the Lakers, if they fall far enough below 500 at that point of the season, they're just going to write this year off. And I think if they do reach that point, then I don't think there's any other way to view this than a giant missed opportunity, given what we've seen from Anthony Davis and what we've seen from LeBron.
No, I agree. And I had like personal like check points that I believe they're looking at. And I think LeBron looking like AD looking like himself, which I think we've returned to. AD's been one of the five or six or seven, whatever, best basketball players in the world for the last few weeks. LeBron, Anthony, I tweeted out, and I feel so bad. I tweeted out, this is the healthiest LeBron and AD have looked together in a long time. And then LeBron turned his ankle 3 minutes later. So the rule is
just gotta stop talking about health. Like, just stop talking about it, you know. Like maybe if we ignore the really ugly chair in the corner, some mover will accidentally come and take it away.
LeBron looked incredible to start this game, which again was just the sad part. Like he was moving so well. His jumper looked good. Like it looked confident. He had like his legs under him, and then yeah, he turns the ankle, and I thought he looked okay, but obviously it was bothering him. But yeah, I mean, I knew this would be the you know, Turner and Heald game, and you know, I think they played okay. It's just, man, it sucks to lose this way. But you know, hopefully they can, you know, turn around on Thursday or do they play Thursday or Wednesday? On Wednesday, and then go on this six-game trip